to talk absolutely nothing about Seinfeld. The president of the Marcellus Shale Coalition, Dave Spiegelmeier. I can't get Seinfeld off my mind. David, thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate your taking the time.
Good to be with you, Doug. Thanks, pal.
And you're welcome to talk Seinfeld if you care to as well, but we'll leave that up to you. Dave Spiegelmeier joining us.
I have more than one pair of dress pants, anyhow.
Oh, well done. That's good. That's a sign that the industry you're involved in is doing well. I think that's a pretty good sign. The presidential race has brought your industry to the forefront, although it always seems to be in the forefront. Very opposing views by the opponents and their running mates. But let's talk about energy policy. And I don't think until probably the last 5 years has the issue of energy been in such the forefront, perhaps since the energy crisis of the mid to late 70s. Let's talk about shale energy policies and how it's changed and how this industry that's nothing new. I think most people probably, who aren't familiar with it, probably think it's, you know, something that came around about 8 years ago. But this idea and this effort has been around for decades, hasn't it?
Yeah, we've been, you know, the Drake well in Oil City was probably one of the first wells in the world drilled for oil, and that's 1859. So we've been producing energy from their strata for, 150 years here in Pennsylvania, 160 years here in Pennsylvania. So that's been a pretty big deal. The thing that's been different, Doug, is the ability to turn a drill bit horizontally. It's not hydraulic fracturing. We've been actually fracturing natural gas wells or hydraulic fracturing natural gas wells since the 1940s. But being able to turn a drill bit horizontally has been a game changer, and it's been an enormous benefit for consumers. I mean, our local utilities in our region, both Columbia, Pennsylvania, and Peoples Natural Gas that provide, you know, natural gas service in western Pennsylvania, their commodity rates are in excess of 70% less than what they were a little over a decade ago. So the consumer's been an enormous benefactor from that. And as a result, I think we have the ability to reshore some jobs to America to, you know, as we learned in this pandemic, we need to produce and manufacture products here at home. And I think we've got the capability to do that through affordable energy.
Yeah. Again, speaking with Dave Spiegelmeier, president of the Marcellus Shale Coalition, as this topic comes more and more to the forefront, especially during the presidential race, I think we're going to see more and more commercials related to that in this presidential race, which is at times is good for an industry, maybe not good for an industry, but certainly it's an issue. I don't think of all the issues that the candidates, not just at the presidential level, but at Senate level, congressional level, you name it, even mayor's races, where there's such polarizing positions on this particular industry.
Well, I'll tell you, Doug, the one thing that seems to be heightened is the issue of climate and concern for our environment. And I would say that we're like-minded. You certainly don't have to make a false choice between energy production and the environment. I think we're very much like-focused to make sure it gets produced in an environmentally responsible fashion. The one thing that seems to be lost in the discussion is the fact this push for renewables, that those are intermittent sources of power that require a baseload backup. But natural gas is a perfect partner with wind energy and solar energy. And while we will do more of both of those technologies, both wind and solar, they need either nuclear, coal, or gas to back them up so we don't have interruptible sources of power. And every source of energy's got some environmental cost. I mean, everybody knows that, you know, first of all, to produce a wind turbine, you need steel. You need, you know, fiberglass for the blades. Again, all produced with natural gas. You've got solar panels, which are basically glass, you know, smelting, and that's all done with natural gas. So, yeah, we need to be complementing one another and find a way to work in the same space together. We also know that if we're going to try and baseload intermittent sources of energy, you're going to need enormous battery capability. That means cobalt, lithium, neodymium mining, and just take a look at rare earth metals mining on the internet. I would tell you it's not a pretty process. So there are costs to all forms of energy. We just need to do it responsibly, work cooperatively with one another for the benefit of consumers. And I think we're very much focused on doing that in Pennsylvania's natural gas industry.
Yeah, I'm always dumbfounded when say, a city council or a township supervisors will come out and vote to disallow it in their areas. The opportunity here for individuals, whether it's farmers leasing out just a small portion of their land or to allow for the rights for the drilling and the natural gas development, how do we get through to, and now there's the classic stories, you go into a gas station and they have those stickers on the mirror that say, don't put a match under the water because it might catch fire. I mean, there's people that actually believe that's the case. You know, to get past that sort of silliness, I mean, how do you educate the public that, don't worry, the water in the sink is not going to catch fire if you put a match under it?
Yeah, I would tell you, Doug, that there has been propaganda trying to promote that narrative to try and vilify natural gas development. And, the truth of the matter is, in Pennsylvania, we've got shallow methane concentrations that have often manifested themselves in water wells, mainly because in water wells, we have no construction standards in Pennsylvania. We're the one in two states in the country that don't have water well construction standards. And methane, being shallow in the coal seams, in some cases have found its way into water wells and into a spigot. I would tell you, early in the horizontal development of the Marcellus back in 2007, 2008, the coalition that I now have the honor to represent worked hard to try and promote aggressive, construction standards for natural gas wells. So we have, a string of casing that goes down about 80 feet that serves as a foundation for a well that's called the conductor pipe. You have a piece of surface casing that goes down, and that's cemented in place. You have a piece of surface casing that goes down below the shallowest fresh groundwater, and that's, usually down to about, well below 1,000 feet, and that's cemented in place. We added a piece of metal casing called intermediate casing that goes down, oftentimes 3,000 feet in depth and cemented in place before you put the actual 5.5-inch tubing that goes or well casing that goes to total depth before you have, and that's cemented in place. And then you have basically production pipe that goes inside of that. So there's 5 layers of steel, 4 layers of concrete that protect, the surface, from having methane contamination in groundwater. And that's done at every single natural gas well. And we go out in advance, test water wells before a well is ever drilled, and independent laboratories share that data. Unfortunately, what we're finding in Pennsylvania is about 1 in 4 water wells have some level of methane in them in advance of any natural gas development in those regions.
Yeah. So when you're sort of competing with individuals, organizations that try to promulgate these ridiculous myths about stuff like that, if you base it on fact and you make that argument, it's certainly understandable. Although I would think there are some that just simply aren't going to believe it, and because they believe the propaganda that this industry is eliminating the world as we know it. So I guess there are just some folks that you're not going to be able to reach on this thing, but you certainly are reaching out to the folks who are making a living and family sustaining wages because of this industry and the amount of impact it's having. And it is huge in Pennsylvania, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is huge in Pennsylvania, Doug. We are now the number 2 producer of natural gas, in the country. And if you put us on a platform of countries, we're like the 5th largest country in the world from a production standpoint. We've gone from producing 180 billion cubic feet, which doesn't sound like a lot. That was about a quarter of Pennsylvania's demand back in 2008. Compared to now, we're producing 6.8 trillion cubic feet of natural gas, which is 20% of America's natural gas demand coming out of Pennsylvania alone. We add West Virginia and Ohio into that. We're, basically a third of the nation's natural gas supply is coming out of our region. So, it's not just the dry natural gas that folks are used to heat their homes, cook their food, and dry their clothes, but it's also, the liquids that are being produced in the shales. The under-pressured area of the shales in this region produce heavy hydrocarbons like ethane, pentane, butane, isobutane, propane, and natural gasoline. It's not a lot of heavy oil, but the ethane is the primary component And that's a precursor for plastics. And we've seen the jobs being generated up at the Shell facility in Monaca, just a year northwest. And that's 7,000 jobs, a $6 billion investment. And I know we're talking about that today, but I would tell you, once that plant's complete, you know, I believe we'll be able to make that turn from the last three decades of talking about manufacturing decline in Pennsylvania to a new birth announcement for manufacturing in our region, and it's primarily all the products that are produced with plastics.
Yeah, that site up in Beaver County is amazing. Just driving out, well, that's Interstate 376 through there, and just driving along looking over, I managed to count 17 cranes on that construction site, which it gives you some idea of the economic impact and the amount of people working there. And then who will work there once it's done as well. This idea, you know, somebody described it as, oh, just temporary construction jobs. Well, all construction jobs are temporary. You finish your project, you move on to the next job. But that plant out there, the amount, the investment, the billions of dollars being spent on the development of that plant, you're right. It's in a county, Beaver, which really struggled with the decline of heavy industry over the years. This is a huge boom. I can't imagine where that county would be if they hadn't picked that location to do it. And it was right on the edge for a while, whether or not that was going to happen in that county. But those folks out there should win a persistence award. They pulled it off and got that plant there and got it under construction. And they're doing their best through the pandemic to continue the construction. Of course, they had to stop at one point, but they're continuing on, actually, with on-site testing facilities. It's an amazing organization out there, isn't it?
Yeah, and I would just say they've built that facility with the highest of environmental scrutiny that exists anywhere in the world. I think Shell's been very much focused on making sure they cross every T and dot every I to make sure it's being done in an environmental responsible fashion. And there are some that will throw rocks at that project as well, when I think it's a potential enormous jobs generator from our region. Again, think about all the things that you touch in your life today that have some kind of plastics involved in them, including our pharmaceutical medications and again, all the products that we touch. And, today, 70% of the plastic manufacturers in the United States are within 700 miles of Pittsburgh. We're now going to produce the feedstock necessary to fuel and provide the raw materials for those industries and for new industries to generate jobs throughout our region. Again, I think it's a game changer for our region. I think if you had our building trades leaders on the phone with us right now, they would tell you that they're flat out right now helping to build that facility, and they're excited about the jobs that will be generated in manufacturing for decades to come.
Yeah, absolutely. For more information, folks, go to MarcellusCoalition.org. Check them out on Twitter, at Marcellus Gas. We've been talking with the president of the Marcellus Shale Coalition, Dave Spiegelmeyer. Dave, as always, you've been a guest with us before. We look forward to talking to you in the future as well. Dave, thanks so much. Appreciate your taking the time.
Yeah, thanks, Doug. Have a great evening.
Okay, you do the same. Dave Spiegelmeyer, again, president of the Marcellus Shale Coalition. Again, check him out on the web at marcelluscoalition.org. Coming up.